Hey guys, Jason Davis here. With everything that's going on out there in culture, in the school system, especially the public school system, right? And drag shows and everything in between, our kids are under attack daily. And that's why I wanted to tell you today about the Tuttle Twins books. Tuttle Twins is really, it's the only books that I know of for kids that really help them develop critical thinking skills about real world concepts, economies, finance, government, freedom, liberty, the free market, how to be self-reliant and outside the system. Right now, we just all have to recognize the world's full of companies and people and politicians that want to expose and influence our kids and ideas that we don't support. And so that includes school teachers, unfortunately. So Tuttle Twins empowers parents. I encourage you to check them out at tuttletwins.com, or if you go to my website at don'ttreadonliberty.com and go to Freedom Partners under Tuttle Twins, there is a special offer for you. So don'ttreadonliberty.com under Freedom Partners, check out the Tuttle Twins, and we do have a special offer for you. Well, let's get back to the show. I hope you enjoy this week. God bless.
Fighting back against the left's nonstop attacks on liberty, freedom, and America.
America.
This is Don't Tread on Liberty. Jason Davis is on the air.
Welcome back to Don't Tread on Liberty. Thanks for being here. Jason Davis back. And a lot going on. January 6th commission underway, the big charade up on Capitol Hill, the election audits, more audits appear to be coming in other states. So there's a lot going on, a lot to talk about. And somebody that I hope can really shed some really good light on this with some very specific information is someone that's done a lot of work his whole career. He's a retired special operations soldier, former DIA intelligence collector, an ex-DEA special agent who was targeted by the deep state and turned whistleblower on the Fast and Furious debacle under President Obama and Eric Holder. He's been on Fox News, Laura Ingraham Show, and too many others for me to list. Jeffrey Prather is here. Thank you for coming in. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me, Jason.
Thanks for being had. So before we get into some of the specifics of the day, I really just wanted to ask you kind of a personal question. What was it like for you going from government agent to public informer?
From hero to zero. And actually, I was targeted. I found out later that from going from a senior special agent working major targets to being a major target by the DEA, I was actually designated a major target by my own agency and my own Department of Justice. And it was not fun, believe me. It was very stressful and sad. And since then, I've connected with a lot of other whistleblowers, Vince Cifalo, John Dotson at ATF, you know, Tony Schaefer at DIA, because I also worked there. But it's real rough to do that and go through that. It's very, very stressful to all of a sudden be labeled. Well, I was labeled a cult leader and a sexual predator, and the same thing that they did with Trump, with the Russian bedroom golden shower thing. They just do that. They pull that out with everybody. And there were others, peers, that actually ate their gun when they would bring me out to LA for OPR, which is Office of Professional Responsibility, Internal Affairs to Civilians. There was another guy they were investigating at the bathroom that we would take a break in. You know, he actually, you know, committed suicide. So it's real tough. It's real hard, but got through it with the grace of God and lots of help from friends and family. And now, you know, I'm more popular and better off than ever. So that's kind of what I always, you know, when I talk to General Flynn, you know, and my wife talked to him, that's what we tell everybody, that, you know, we can get through this, and this is just a template they pull out and they use the same thing. So just stand fast and it will pass, but it's not fun. No, it's not fun at all.
Yeah, I can only imagine it. I mean, it's as retired law enforcement, it almost sounds like being undercover. I mean, you're behind enemy lines, but you're living there. And in this case, you're at home, but you're kind of behind enemy lines. So interesting,
scenario. I can't imagine the stress. So I want to start with the election and the election audits primarily. We're both in Arizona. So the Arizona audit has had what seems like, you know, one debacle after another, multiple subpoenas issued, you know, the county refusing to obey. We have buildings burning down, supposedly with ballots inside. They won't turn over the equipment that's needed. And now this whole thing is, you know, coming to an end, and the guy who's running the whole thing is stepping down. They won't give him access to any of the raw information. They just issued another subpoena for the same stuff, the routers and so forth. I mean, is this legit, or is this just political theater designed to distract and placate conservatives?
Well, no, the audit is legit. I have worked behind the scenes with politicians on that. And I'm a consultant for competitive intelligence and corporate security. And I've been contacted for a long time by Arizona government members, some of them legit, some of them not. But I have worked behind the scenes to support the audit, and it is very legitimate. And I've had, you know, if you go to jeffreypraiser.com, you'll see that I've established Team America, which is not militia, but it's Americans relying on each other and God and not corrupt, toxic government in DC, just like we didn't rely on corrupt, toxic government in Britain. And there are Team America Arizona members that are working the audit on the inside. And the audit itself and the people who are working the audit are very legitimate, and they are doing a great job. And there are certain politicians like Senator Wendy Rogers, who are former military, fellow paratrooper, who are doing a great job. But they are in a political environment, and they are politicians. So they are going to try and do what's best for them, because that's what politicians do. So when I was talking to certain people, and I talked to different people separately that are siloed and independent, so, you know, nobody is compromised. As I said, you know, the whole country is looking at the audit and the whole world is looking at the audit. I get hundreds of emails like that every day. So what happens to your political career if you frack that up next? And so they got that message, as much as a politician can get it. So the audit itself is genuine. They're doing a great effort. The politicians, including the rhinos, are doing what they must, but there's some real patriots up there. And of course, the volunteers are doing a great job.
Yeah, I have no doubt about that. But as you say, there's quite a few rhinos in the Arizona State Legislature, too many, Karen Fan being one of them. So, we have more audits coming. Wisconsin is looking that way, right? And other states. Where do you see this all going in the next 6 to 12 months?
So I have connected other states to the Arizona audit behind the scenes so they can start working. And that's really what I did in my career, you know, as a DEA agent, as a DIA intelligence collector, is working behind the scenes. And so what we're seeing now is as the behind the scenes work stops, then you've got to go to the in front of the scenes, which is, you know, the Congress, the Senate, the Arizona legislature, all of that. And that's where the problems come, because the Chinese, primarily the Chinese, there's the Iranians, not so much the Russians. You know, every movie is about the Russians because they're not really a threat. But the Chinese intelligence machine, through the unrestricted warfare that began with the Chinese report in 1999, created overt intelligence programs, everything called Thousand Talents, whatever it's called, Thousand Whatever. But they flood the country with scientists, with students, and then they get access. For example, Feng Feng with Swalwell. That's a female Chinese intelligence agent recruiting Swalwell from the Democratic Party. And that's what happened with Hunter. And that's what happened through government all across the country. So those guys, you get an informant, as you know, you work an informant or a source for influence and access. They have obtained influence and access. And so that's where the disconnect is. I think that's where the disconnect was with Trump when he brought in Ezra, who I added his cue because Barr was going to indict him, and Greg Miller, horse soldier, Green Beret, is the disconnect from the intelligence switching over to the evidence, which then has to go into these very corrupted institutions. And so that is the inflection point that is difficult for everybody. But as more audits happen, what we're going to start to see is people have talked about a civil war, and I've said, no, it's not a civil war. It's fifth generational unrestricted warfare. But we're starting to see an alignment of constitutional states. And it's kind of spread out through the Western and Southeastern and some Southwestern states. It's not a geographical terrain. It is human terrain. And it is the communist versus the constitutionalist, basically. And you can define that by who's willing to do an audit. And so as these states start to align, 2025 states start to align, then those states together will start to look to take action. And everybody is trying to do this legally through the process, but as the process, as they are stymied and as they are stopped, what will continue to happen is people will lose confidence in the government and the process, like you're seeing here in Arizona, seeing Border Patrolmen taken off the Arizona border, sent to Texas to bring illegals, fly them around the country without masks, without vaccine passports. And so the shadow government, or sometimes it's called a double government, that is controlling the government. Obama and Jarrett and Rice are the shadow government behind Biden. Think of It's a Wonderful Life. Think of Potter and the guy wheeling the wheelchair is the best analogy. Then there's a counter sunlight government that starts to develop there. And so that is, okay, well, we're not going to rely on these institutions. So we're going to form our own institutions. And so those are sunlight institutions to counter the shadow government institutions. It's like a counterinsurgency insurgency. It gets kind of complicated, but that's what Team America is about. That's what the audits are about. In the inflection point up where you're at is the audit. The inflection point in Tucson is, since the Tucson police are not going to respond, it is neighborhood watch responding for each other. And as that happens, they lose more and more power. And when they lose power, they have to use force. And as they use more force, and this is just now special forces, unconventional warfare doctrine. This is nothing new. This is what the horse soldiers did, 12 strong did in Afghanistan, is as the populace, and this is what Mao Zedong did, everybody does this, is as they lose confidence in the services that the government provides, there are alternative services. And there comes an inflection point where the fake government no longer stands. And so everybody is trying to do that non-kinetically and lawfully and politically and peacefully. But it's getting very absurd where you see, hey, no masks in the Senate in the swamp, but masks in the Congress because that's the GOP. And so those sides are starting to sort themselves out. And so that's what's going to continue to happen and formalize in the next 6 to 9 months. And from there, we will see what happens. But as more and more people reject the next, they're talking about Delta, but now they're already talking about the Lambda variant, and then two masks or three masks or whatever. And a lot of the sheep will just go along with that, but a lot of the populace will stop going along with that. So then there's a point where they have to use force, and how do they use force to enforce that? And the answer is they won't be able to. So does that make sense? Does that answer your question specifically enough?
It does, to a point. So January 6th commission, that's the next thing that they're doing.
Yeah.
Big dog and pony show. This is another one that, you know, there's videos out there. You watch the people, they're being let in by police. They're just walking around very peacefully inside, looking at artwork and so forth. You have other videos where you got people breaking stuff and burning things. On both sides, accusations of actors being instilled, like those aren't real police. You know, they were put there by CIA or Antifa dressed up like cops or whatever. What really happened on January 6th?
So I have worked a lot of covert operations. I got my start when I was with 7th Special Forces Group and the Contras. And I saw, and I got called in. I was inside a tunnel in Panama. I had to cut my hair, put on my Class A's, and go sit behind Colonel Fry at SOC South, Special Operations Command South, who was briefing the new sink coming in. And the topic was, are we going to end up before Congress like Ali North had? And so, you know, Fox News and most people think, hey, Ali North is great. I don't think Ali North is great because he ran an illegal covert operation that funded and started the Clinton death cartel of cocaine, cash, and Contras in Arkansas. And the answer that I answered my colonel was, we're fine. We're doing everything legally and we're doing everything chartered. And in Special Forces, we understood how to do covert operations, but they did not. The difference is that there's a clear objective as opposed to, hey, we're just going to run an illegal operation. And so I can assess, and I've worked with law enforcement, federal law enforcement. It's called a SARC in federal law enforcement, Special Activity Review Committee. So I assess as an intelligence officer with a 95% probability that those were actors and those were covert. Those were probably CIA guys, and maybe they had FBI credentials too and Capitol Police guys. That's why you don't see, with the show of the hearings, you see a carefully couple of picked guys who come up, but you don't see the guys. They're not interviewing the guys. Hey, why'd you move the barricades aside? Why'd you open the door? I had Bobby Powell on my show the other day pointing out the covert actors, the guy who takes the window out, the guy who holds the door open, who's pushing people in. Very clearly, I can tell you that there were multiple teams. There's little things you can look for that those things were happening. And the why of that is exactly what you said. Is so there's one group that had a bunch of rallies that had red MAGA hats that had flags and would pick up after themselves. And there's another group, BLM Antifa, Blantifa, that would burn stuff down, murder people, rape people. And then all of a sudden, the rules are switched completely on July. There's video out there of the guys changing clothes in the corners. But the FBI, who has become the covert cleanup team, on a covert operation, there's several phases. And one of them is, there's a cleanup team. So if you fired brass, somebody comes up and picks up the brass. Well, you could see that in Portland. There were assassinations where they'd come in and pick up the brass. Those are trained covert operations teams. And so that clearly has happened. So you're asking the right question, but the better question is why? And the answer to that question is, well, because the MAGA guys weren't particularly violent. So they had to be ambushed. It's an ambush, but it's not a kinetic ambush, and not an L-shaped ambush like we're used to in the military. It's an information influence operation ambush, which is we want to film these guys looking like they're the bad guys, where there's the film of the Blantifa guy talking through the window. We're going to go here next. The sergeant of arms, the two sergeant of arms and the Capitol Police has resigned. They report to Pelosi. Well, why isn't Pelosi testifying? Because they're controlling the battlefield. But the battlefield in this instance is human terrain. It's not physical terrain. Because the thing about China is, China didn't make the mistake that the Japanese and the Germans and ISIS made. And like, hey, yeah, we can take the American warrior kinetically. No, you can't. Nobody can. So they finally realized that. And they are doing a type of warfare that almost nobody is used to. And it's called fifth generational covert. It's global World War IV because global World War III, I got my little service ribbon from that. That was a war on terror. And so they ambushed and there was lots of practice up for that. And that was set up. And we know that, but they're billing it as an intelligence failure. It wasn't an intelligence failure. They didn't want to call the National Guard. They didn't want to hand it over to the Secret Service. The Secret Service special agents like me, who was a DEA special agent in 1811, would have made that a special security event, which would be multiple layers of security. And so they couldn't have run their ambush if they had handed it off to the Secret Service, because at the time, the Secret Service worked for Trump. So they could not do that. So those are clear signs. And if you brought in a real covert intelligence guy like me, I'd be explaining this before Congress.
So
but that's not what this is about.
So two follow-ups then. How's come nobody in the GOP up there is bringing up that stuff? Why is nobody bringing that up? Not one person brings that up on, I mean, nobody. Why?
So politicians are like stinky fish. They all, you pick the least stinky. So the rhinos love to lose.
Hey,
they love to lose and then be indignant about losing, but they're also pretty incompetent. Now, I just heard today that I had Bobby Powell, who was the former Marine who filmed the two operators moving the glass and pushing people in. He just said that Matt Gaetz showed his footage on the House floor. I haven't had a chance to look at that, but what I had Bobby say on my show was, say their names again to put pressure on the politicians that you had sent this stuff to. And my broadcast gets out there pretty good, even though I've been platformed by YouTube. So there was pressure, I think. And that's how you have to approach politicians is, hey, if you don't put this out, you're going to lose your next election. And so I think I'm thinking that what Bobby and I did yesterday, made Matt do this, because he said, hey, I've sent this and no one has released it. So they want to stay in office. And they're also very concerned about that. For example, Paul Gosar used to do Fast and Furious stuff with me and other whistleblowers. Now I can't get Paul to return my calls. Lynn Wood doesn't return my calls. I'm not on Laura Ingraham anymore, because she's mainstream now. Because nobody ever knows what I'm going to say or what I'm going to call out, because I don't care. So you have to target them directly and focus on that. And so, for example, up where you're at, focus those folks and ask them the hard questions to do what is right. When I had Shelby Bush of the audit on, she was praising Sinema, because Sinema is a left winger and she doesn't like constitutionalists. But right now, to stay in office, she is supporting our causes. So for right now, we should support her, just for now, as an alliance. So it has to be very targeted, and you have to look specifically at the motivations of the people involved.
Well, I don't expect anything out of the rhinos, but there's some really good conservatives up there in Washington. Rand Paul, Mike Lee. I mean, these guys have been silent. I don't understand why that is. Now, here's another interesting question for you. So as you rightly point out, Trump was the president at the time that this all went down. Did Trump have any, is he have any responsibility to know that the deep state is getting ready to run an op on, you know, supposedly his people?
Yeah, of course. He's the commander in chief. So does he have responsibility? Yes. Is it his fault? No. I get this a lot, is everybody wants to badmouth Trump now. And sometimes they want to badmouth Flynn. And I want to say, having been through what Trump and Flynn have gone through, I don't badmouth them at all. I feel sorry for them, because I've been through what they've gone through. But, you know, you got to remember, and I remember I worked in military law enforcement intelligence, all executive branch stuff. So I've been in the White House. So Trump, Obama comes in and replaces 200 to 250 military, federal law enforcement and intelligence professionals, SESs, with his guys at the top when he comes in. So Trump comes in and fires this guy, and then fires that guy, and then fires this guy, and then fires that guy. And he just didn't fire enough guys. It's really tough to do that. And so Flynn, and I've talked to Flynn, thought that he could talk to the FBI agents that Comey sent, because they were supposedly on his side. Now, if he talked to me, you know, but I left the G in 2009. I would have said, don't talk to the FBI. I'm friends with Ed Morales to hear the FBI gunfight, but the new ones are all corrupt. But you get up into those high levels of ranks of generals and admirals and politicians, and they have their crowd around them, and then they have their staff. And, you know, I retired as a major from the Army. People call me general and admiral all the time, but I'm just a major. But I understood what was going on. But it's hard to get down to that level to pay attention to that. So is it his responsibility? Yes, it is. I think that he realized it too late, because when he brought Ezra, who had started the DIA like me, and DIA, that's a whole nother conversation, but United States Military Special Operations Intelligence, which is my background, replaced the CIA because the CIA was incompetent and corrupt. They could not support real special operations missions. And so when he brought Ezra, who went from DIA is the Pentagon CIA, over to DOJ. And then when he brought Chris Miller, Green Beret, who worked behind enemy lines, he just did it too late. And then they couldn't make the transition between intelligence and evidence. So intelligence always wants to protect sources and methods. Evidence is fact-based, and you're going to put it out all on court. And what the corrupt government has done now is, and there's public articles on this, I'm not revealing anything classified, but there are public articles that talk about agencies that pass classified intelligence to the Department of Justice and then say, establish your own parallel PC, probable cause, because we can't show you where this came. And that mechanism has now been turned around through the FISA and FARA stuff and used against the American people.
Yeah, so I don't know where you go when the FBI and the CIA and all of our government agencies are not, you know, trustworthy. That leaves us in a pretty bad place as a country. That's probably right where they want us to be, because that brings me to my last topic. All of these things and much more is part of just, you know, another spoke in the big wheel that is the Great Reset, which the whole world seems to be on. You know, everything together, food shortages, supply line problems, political issues, lockdowns, masks, vaccines, all this stuff designed to drive everybody into this Great Reset. And it's happening all over the world, as you know. So is there any way we can stop this at this point, or is it just too big?
Yes, certainly we are stopping it. And first of all, to go back to your what are we going to do without the FBI and CIA? Well, the country wasn't founded with the FBI and the CIA or the DEA. The executive branch is way out of control. True, Washington did use intelligence a lot, but there was no formal organization for that. And so the answer, that's number one. The second thing is, how do we counter all that? Well, we are countering it now with podcasts like yours and mine and everybody else. Is an alternative. What's happening with Fox and CNN and MSNBC? They're falling apart. They are fading because they do not provide information anymore. I'm a perfect example of that. Is since the intelligence agencies have been corrupted, I said, well, I'm going to be America's intelligence officer. And I'm more successful now after the government has spent the last 15 years trying to come after me. I'm more successful now than I've ever been. And I'm doing more than I did when I was on active duty or as a special agent or anything. So again, the terrain is human. Their ranks are failing and fading now, and our ranks are gaining. We are gaining more human terrain each and every day. And so you can see this perfect example with Pelosi says to the Capitol Police, who are really they're like the uniform division of the FBI, because that's why she's opening offices in San Francisco and Tampa, and then she'll cross the X's the other way, is, hey, we want you to arrest the congressional members. They're like, oh, we're not going to do that. We won't let them in. But they're already starting to resist, and people are going to start to resist. and they're not going to use their services. So as those government services fail, alternative services like your podcast and mine will arise. And one thing I'm putting out there, I just put this out to Team America, and I put this out on, I just did a local show called People's Rights, little group here in Tucson, because I want to support all the patriots, is tell all the soldiers and all the feds that if they get fired or if they refuse the death jab, that we're going to support them. Welcome to our side. And we'll form concierge medical services, because we certainly don't want to go to their corrupt hospitals. We'll form concierge security services. I just let my own Arizona Department of Public Safety Armed Guard Company lapse because I'm too busy to do it anymore. But you could stand one up, and all the cops that won't take the jab or get fired, hey, start up a service. Because in Tucson, the cops aren't coming. So, okay, we'll do our own cops. And gradually, as they shrink, we'll grow. It's not going to be overnight. Everybody is spoiled in America, because I've worked overseas a lot and seen real poverty. In America, the poor people are fat. That's not real poverty. Everybody's spoiled. They want instant freedom. They want instant answers. You know, when I try and say, hey, buy a sat phone on my site, they're like, I can't find it. I'm like, scroll down and look at the big ad. I'm always telling my listeners, you've got to see and listen, not just look and hear. Everybody's real spoiled right now. That's going to change. Things are not that bad yet, but they will be. They're going to get worse. And the sheep, a lot of the sheep are just going to, you know, be led to the slaughter. But the rest of us Americans are starting to coalesce, just like People's Rights, just like Team America, lots of other organizations. We'll start to get together, and we will become tribal again. And I just did a show because I got to spend a lot of time with the Inde, the Apache people, and was trained by an Apache elder. It's my book, Initiation, you know, jeffreyprather.com. And people think that when things get hard, like Hitler thought, I'll bomb London and that will make the Londoners give up. No, it solidified them and brought out C.S. Lewis. Every time things get harder, people get tribal and they hook up and they start working together. And as things get harder, people will start to pay attention and hook up and neighbor up and team up and link up and train up and counter all of this. And we're doing that, you and me on our podcast and other people, many other podcasts that are doing that. And more of that will occur. And that is how we are going to restore our republic, which I say has fallen. We didn't lose it overnight. We're not going to restore it overnight. It's not going to be fun, just like what I went through wasn't fun. But can we win this? Yes. Will we win this? Yes. I'm planning on winning this.
Okay. So let's go back to what you said a minute ago about not being led to the slaughter. What can people do right now to try to prepare for what's coming?
So they should be listening to shows like yours and mine. They should be checking out their information. Like if you go to my Patreon, which you can get through jeffreyprather.com. Whenever I talk about something, I publish at least a dozen articles, videos, reports, and intelligence and evidence on that to show. And usually I like to say, and here's the enemy saying it. Like last year with the weird weather we had, I have worked with several personnel of my peerage. So now I get letters and everybody likes me, but I also get letters from peerage that I used to work with saying, hey, great job, keep it up. And what about this? And so I've gotten stuff from pilots that I used to work with, like, hey, chemtrails. I'm like, yeah, I remember that, but now, oh, here's the stuff. Last year, the weather was weird. We had no rain. And I never saw weather. And I'm a guy who's always out. I have horses. I've lived out in this country and other countries, from the Atacama Desert in Chile to the Andes. I've spent a lot of time out. I never saw weather like this. Well, I published a report where the Chinese said, we have a weather weapon. Not me saying it, them saying it. So intelligence from the enemy that I publish, hey, well, does that fit then what I'm saying is they were messing with the weather to force government personnel to go along with what they were doing. Look at California. Hey, the snow melted, but the reservoirs aren't filling up. Well, that means somebody is siphoning it off. Well, does that make sense then? Well, yes, it does. So that's how intelligence should work. But people are going to have to wake up and discern and pay attention and stop believing, hey, now it's the Delta variant, then it's the Lambda environment. Wear two masks, wear three masks, get three injections.
I actually saw a list online that was leaked from the WHO. They've got a list of all the variants for the next 2 years already. Yeah. I don't know if that's legit, obviously, but anyway, Jeffrey Prather, thank you so much. It's jeffreyprather.com. The Prather Point is the show. I'm a constitutionalist, but to be honest, I don't know a lot about the inner workings of government intelligence. So I really appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Don't Tread on Liberty with Jason Davis. Subscribe on Google Play, iTunes, or your favorite platform. For more Liberty news, check out www.donttreadonliberty.com and subscribe to the blog or join the conversation.